Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Praise the Lord that Jesus has paid it all. Probably one of my favorite hymns that I enjoy singing, enjoy listening to, and enjoy worshiping with is Jesus Paid It All, because He truly did pay it all. He washed our sins as white as snow, and they've been cast as far as the east is from the west. Praise the Lord. He has paid it all. And because He's paid it all, we can be devoted to prayer, right? This morning, as we come to continuing our sermon series through being devoted to prayer and learning about prayer and just continuing to hope and pray that we as a church will be a people that are devoted to praying for ourselves and praying for this church and praying for the members of this church and the people of this community, we're going to continue to look at the Lord's Prayer as we began last week. And before that, we looked at kind of how not to pray in the previous verses. But today we're going to read the Lord's Prayer again, beginning in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And the Word of God says this: "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, we just come to You, and we are just so thankful that You have paid it all, Lord. And God, we're so grateful that because You've paid it all, we can come to You. We can boldly come to Your throne because we know we're going to receive grace and mercy, Lord. Because You've paid it all, we can pray to You, Lord. We can talk to You. We can bring our needs to You. We can ask for forgiveness, Lord. And God, we can ask You to deliver us from temptation. God, today as we come to the preaching of Your Word, help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity, and passion. And God, I just pray that all of our hearts and all our minds are open to hear and to receive what Your Word is teaching us today. God, we pray all this in Your holy and precious name. Amen. Last week, in my introduction, I made this statement: God is not a friend. Looking back, I think I made this comment and made this statement very sharply and very right there at it, if that makes sense. And I think that this statement is not totally correct. And I'm going to own that right here from the very beginning today. Be upfront and honest with you that, yeah, I may have not have said it the right way. But what I was intending to say when I talk about God not being our friend is that God is more than just a friend, right? Because He certainly is a friend. He certainly is a friend. Abraham was called God's friend. Jesus is a friend to sinners. And Jesus laid down His life for who? His friends, right? And I'm certain that God has been a friend to you at times in your life, just as He's been a friend to me in times of my life. And so because of all of this, I think it's much better for me, and I should have rephrased it to say, God is more than just a friend, especially when we come to Him in prayer. Should we talk to Him as if He's a friend? Should we have conversation with Him as He's just a friend? Yes, absolutely, but we must remember that He is far greater than just a friend. a friend, and we can pray big prayers, we can pray big desires, we can bring big asks to Him. We can do all of that because He is the all-powerful and almighty God. He's our Savior and He is our Father. And we can come to Him as friend, but more importantly, as Father. As we come to our passage today, we can begin to focus on ourselves. Last week, in looking at the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, we see that they were focuses on the Lord. Your kingdom come, or hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And this week, we begin to focus on ourselves, our daily needs, our forgiveness, and focusing on how we can ask the Lord to deliver us from evil. And so we see these two focuses, a focus on self, or a focus on the Lord, and then a focus on self. And while there are certainly more petitions that are made than just these six petitions that we see throughout the whole entire Bible and see it in other places of Scripture, right here, Jesus focuses on our needs, our forgiveness, and our deliverance from sin. And I believe that these three petitions, along with the three petitions that we looked at last week, that we make to the Lord, should be petitions that are made daily. That we make daily unto the Lord because it keeps our focus on Him as Lord. Hallowed be His name. It keeps our focus on Him as King and His kingdom and His purpose and His will. But it also reminds us that He is the one that meets our needs, that He is the one who gives forgiveness, and that He is the one who delivers us from the evil one. And so looking at that and remembering that and knowing that, let's begin to look at the rest of these six petitions, the last three petitions that are made for ourselves. And so the first petition for the Lord, for our daily needs. We pray for our daily needs. I think often we do pray for our daily needs, but sometimes I think we pray more for our daily wants than we do our daily needs. But right here we see specifically in verse 11, Jesus models for us, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Tucker, I'm going to trust you to make it through here because the clicker is still not connecting right. But verse 11, Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. We are fully dependent upon God. We are entirely dependent upon God for our existence, for our life. We are entirely dependent on Him for the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the food we eat. We are helpless, you could say. We are helpless, and we are fully dependent on the self-sufficient one. We depend on the one who gives. Our God is the provider of our needs, of all our needs, everything that we truly, truly need. You know what He's going to do? He's going to provide it. He's going to give it to us. He's going to care for us in such a way. Jesus here uses the word bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And if you go back in the times of Jesus, bread was kind of the main thing. If you didn't have bread, then you might be struggling a little bit. Bread was the main course of food. They had meat, I'm sure vegetables and fruit, but bread was the staple. It's why we use the phrase, who's the breadwinner, right? Because someone's bringing home the bread. But not only was the bread the staple, but Jesus is also reminding us of how God provided for the Israelites when they came out of Egypt, right? They're straying in the wilderness. They went through the Red Sea. They're walking around. They're wandering around in the wilderness. And they begin to grumble and complain because, hey, Moses, we don't have any food. You brought us out here and now we don't have any food. We had a better life in Egypt because we actually had something to eat. And Moses goes to the Lord and the Lord then provides what? Bread. Manna. Every single day, except for Sunday, they would wake up and they would be bread for them to go and pick up. They would go, I said Sunday, it should be like Saturday. Let me say Sabbath. I'll be completely correct all the way there. Every day except for Sabbath, bread was there for them to pick up, for them to have. And every single morning you are to wake up and go and get your daily bread. God was providing for and meeting the needs of the people of Israel. As a matter of fact, He met them so well that they got tired of eating bread and they began to grumble and complain and say, "Hey, we want more than bread. We want meat." And guess what? He gave them meat. A lot of meat, actually. If you're very interested in reading that story, go read that story. And you'll see how much meat, how much quail the Lord gave to the people of Israel, because He is going to provide for us. And we can come to Him and say, "Give us our daily bread." When we come to the Lord, we are to come to Him helpless. Because we are truly helpless, ain't we? We are truly helpless. We are to come to Him fully dependent on Him. So often, I don't think we pray with a sense of helplessness. As a matter of fact, I think the more helpless we see ourselves, the more we will pray. Just think about that. If you don't think you're helpless, and you can do it on your own, then you don't need who? God. But the more you see that you are helpless, then the more you will need who? The Lord. And so the more you will do is what? You'll come to Him more and pray, and "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." How often in our prayers do we fail to ask the Lord for provision? How often do we go to the Lord in prayer and we fail to ask Him to give us this day our daily bread, our daily needs? To give thanks to the Lord for meeting our needs. I know that I'm bad at this. I'm not the greatest at giving thanks to the Lord for what we have or asking the Lord for the daily needs of life. We live in a time where we can hold a job, make some money, buy our own food, and live with an attitude of, "I did it. I don't need help from anybody else. I can do it on my own." How arrogant of us. How boastful of us to think, "I can do this on my own. I don't need to ask the Lord for our daily needs." Church, this prayer, "Give us our daily bread," it isn't for those that don't have much. Let me rephrase that. This prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," we often think it is for those that are struggling. Right? I think we often think that way. "I'm not struggling. I don't need to pray this. I'm not hurting. I don't need to pray this." But they do, because they're hurting and they're struggling. The reality, church, is this prayer is for every single one of us. The one struggling and the one not struggling. Because in a moment, it can all change. It can all change. We pray this prayer every single day because it reminds us that we are helpless and that God is our helpless, or that God is our helper. Notice Jesus says daily here. I think this is important. "Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus is teaching us not to worry about tomorrow, but to worry about... No, I'm going to say that differently, because we're not supposed to really worry at all. But Jesus is teaching us not to worry about tomorrow, but to focus on today. "Give us our daily bread." He's teaching us to focus on the daily. He wants us to daily come to Him and ask for our daily needs to be met. In church, in Matthew 6, verse 26 through 34, Jesus teaches us that we can trust and know that God is going to care for us and care for our daily needs, because just as He cares for the lilies of the valley and the birds of the air, how much more will He care for us? In Matthew 26, 26, or in Matthew 6:26, he says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Church, may we daily see how helpless we are and how dependent we are upon the God of this world to meet our daily needs. And may we go to the Lord daily, asking Him to give us our daily bread. But you know what? Our needs here on this earth are not our biggest need. It's not our greatest need. The daily food that we need, the daily water that we need, the daily clothes that we need, that's not our greatest need. Our greatest need is salvation. Our greatest need is Jesus Christ. Our biggest need is the bread of life. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." We may need food to eat and water to drink. But you know what? That food and that water never fully satisfies. Why? Because guess what? After 3 or 4 hours of eating, we all get hungry. And if you go even longer, you get even hungrier. Food and water doesn't satisfy us. It can never fully satisfy us. We can eat the juiciest steak. We can eat the greatest salad, whatever you want. You can eat your favorite meal, and you know what? It's going to taste good. It's going to satisfy you, but it's only going to satisfy you for a moment. We need the bread of life, Jesus Christ, to be fully and totally satisfied. There is a spiritual hunger inside of us, a spiritual thirst, and we will do everything we can to satisfy it. We will try this and we will try that. We will seek this and we will seek that. We may run from addiction to addiction, from sin to sin, trying to satisfy that spiritual hunger and that spiritual thirst. And friend, if that is you this morning, I just want you to know that your satisfaction comes from nothing of this world, but of only the one Son of God, the bread of life, Jesus Christ. He can satisfy your every need. He's the bread of life. This morning, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you've never trusted in Him as Savior and Lord, I just encourage you right now, right where you are, just to bow your head and say, "Lord, I need You. I need Jesus, the bread of life in me. God, I'm sorry for running from addiction to addiction, to sin to sin. Lord, thank You for sending us, the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Thank You for saving me." If that's you this morning and you're making this decision to follow Jesus, I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you after the service and just talk about what it means to continue to believe and follow the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In church, without that forgiveness, without the forgiveness that comes through the blood of Jesus, washing our sins away, you will spend eternity in hell and will never have your sins forgiven. In church, this leads us to our second petition, our second thing to pray. And Jesus models for us here. Pray for forgiveness. We should pray for forgiveness. In verse 12, Jesus goes on and models for us. "And forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors." As humans, we are naturally sinners, right? We were born sinners. We've been sinning against the holy God since. And unfortunately, because of a sin nature, guess what? We're going to continue sinning. We're going to sin again and again and again. And this sin has caused us to be in massive debt to God. I've never been in just a massive amount of debt, right? Some of you may have been in more debt than you could think of or anything like that, and you thought to yourself, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But you know what? Our sin debt is far greater than that debt. Our sin debt is just a plunging debt that never ends. And the only way that this debt can be paid off is not by us doing something about it, not by us doing something on our own and working for it. We can't even declare bankruptcy on this debt and get out of it. The only way that we can have this infinite debt paid off is by the blood of Jesus. It's by the blood of Jesus. This debt that we have, the Lord saw that it was fit to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so we can get out of that debt. And in sacrificing Himself on the cross, Jesus paid our debt. He paid the debt for all who would ever believe in Him. And guess what? He paid it in full. There's no more payments necessary. You know that feeling you get when you pay the car off, or you pay the house off for some of you, or you pay this off, or you pay that off, and you're just like, I can breathe again, right? How much greater is the feeling of knowing that our debt, our sin debt, has been paid in full? Because Christ, Jesus, has paid it all by His blood. We can sing that song all because we know that Jesus has paid it. That our debt has been paid and we have been forgiven. And when God looks down upon us and He sees us, He sees the blood of Jesus and He says, forgiven. Your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins have already been forgiven. And guess what? Because all of those sins have been forgiven, we can actually come to the Father and say and ask Him, Lord, forgive us our debts. Why? Because they've already been forgiven. They've already been forgiven. We could not pray this prayer. We could not pray, forgive us our debts, unless our debts had been forgiven already. Thus, when we come to the Lord in prayer, we can come to Him with the acknowledgement that He has saved us, and we can come to Him with the acknowledgement that our debt has been forgiven already. We can come to the Father boldly, knowing that we will receive grace and mercy, as Hebrews teaches us, because Jesus has paid the price and He is our mediator and we have already been forgiven. I think sometimes the reason we don't pray or we feel as if we can't pray is because we have sin in our life. We have guilt and shame weighing on us and we think, I can't go to the Lord because there's this barrier of sin between us. And that's not true. It's nothing as farther from the truth. Because our sin debt has been paid, we can approach the Father without the shame, without the guilt, and we can acknowledge our sins before Him and we can pray, Father, forgive us our debts. Church, don't let the guilt of sin or the shame of sin hold you back from going to the Father in prayer. Come to Him. Confess your sin to Him before Him. Acknowledge it before Him. Ask Him for His forgiveness and know that He's already forgiven you because He is quick to forgive. And as you remember, as we talked about earlier in reading Psalm 103 and just remembering that our sins have been far, cast as far as the east from the west, He remembers them no more. As Christians, moving on to, we have also forgiven our debtors. We should not be a people that hold grudges. When we hold grudges against others, we in a way are doing the exact opposite of the gospel of Jesus. When we hold grudges, it's because we haven't forgiven. Let's be real. The biggest reason we hold grudges against people is because we haven't forgiven them, truly forgiven them. If the holy God is quick to forgive us, why should we, who is not holy and not righteous, hold our forgiveness back from others? If the holy God is quick to forgive, we too should be quick to forgive those who sin against us. We are displaying the gospel to them in doing so. We are showing them the same exact forgiveness that God has shown us, and that God can give them if they too repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. There's a reason Jesus puts this in here, because He wants you to remember that we should forgive those who sinned against us, that we shouldn't hold it against them, that we should give them that forgiveness that they so deserve, because it points them to Jesus. May we be a people who are quick to remember that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and go to the Lord in prayer, ask for His forgiveness as we also forgive others. And as we pray for forgiveness, we are simply acknowledging the fact that we need help. That we need help to live lives of sinlessness. We need to ask the Lord's help in delivering us from the evil one. And so this moves us to our third petition that we see here in this passage, or really the sixth petition. And this petition is pray and ask the Lord to deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one, as he says there in verse 13. As I stated earlier, we are naturally drawn to sin. We are naturally going to sin, and thus we should pray for help. We should ask the Lord to lead us not into temptation and to deliver us from the evil one. The first thing that I just want to kind of address here, because oftentimes I think we can read this verse and go, I thought the Lord doesn't... Does this mean the Lord's tempting me? And that's not true, right? In James chapter 1, verse 13, he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself tempts no one. Therefore, it is an impossibility for the Lord to lead us into temptation, right? We are, however, as verse 14 of James 1 says, tempted by our own desires. Our very own flesh tempts us. So how should we really understand verse 13? So go back to me for there to Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation. How should we understand this? Another way of reading it could be said, lead us not into a time of testing. This word temptation can also be understood as testing. Lead us not into a time of testing. And if we were to ask the question, does the Lord test us? We could say what? Yeah, He does test us. There are trials that come in our life and things that happen. He tests with all sorts of stuff. I think specifically of Job and how Job was tested by the Lord, and Satan was allowed to tempt Job, and how Job went through all of those struggles in his life. And I can also wager to say that every single one of us here do not want to go through trials and testings in our lives, do we? We don't enjoy those things. We don't like those things. We don't want to do that. We don't want to go through those. And thus we can pray, Lord, lead us not into a time of testing. Lead us not into the temptation. But it's not just lead us not into the trials, but Lord, deliver us from the evil one. I've often heard it said, the Lord will never give you more than you can handle. You ever heard that before? I've heard it said a lot. And honestly, that phrase is false. Let me tell you why. Because the reality is if our strength comes from ourselves, then we've already failed. Right? If our strength comes from ourselves and we've already failed, we don't have the strength to do it on our own. Our strength will never be enough. But you notice whose strength is? God's. And thus, we should say, the Lord will never give us more than He can handle. Because He's certainly going to give us more than we can handle. And when He gives us more than we can handle, guess who we go to? Him. We go to Him. We go to Him because that's the point of testing. If you don't go farther than what you can handle, the point of testing is not pointless anymore. It's not good anymore. The point of testing is to take you farther so that you are forced to rely on the Lord. So you can force to rely on Him, not yourself. Thus we pray, Lord, lead us not into the testing, lead us not into the trial, but deliver us from the evil one. As I was preparing the sermon and was considering how we are delivered from the evil one, my mind went to Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul is teaching about the armor of God, and in his teaching there, he says, put on the shield of faith to protect you from the flaming arrows or the fiery darts that are coming from the Satan, from the evil one. And right here, we are simply asking the Lord to deliver us from Satan's fiery darts, from his fiery arrows. I think for most of us here, we know without a shadow of a doubt what sins we struggle with the most. We know what sins that we are going or most prone to struggle with. We know whether we're more prone to struggle with pride or greed or lust, addiction, whether it be gossip, anger, selfishness, self-control, whatever sin it may be that you struggle with, you most likely know that you struggle with that. And so when it comes to praying, Lord, deliver us from the evil one, we're simply saying and praying, Lord, deliver me from those dangers in life. Remove those things in my life that may tempt me. Lord, give me the strength when I come across an idea that may make me rich and greedy and everything else. Deliver me from that. Lord, deliver me from the fiery dart of lust when an attractive girl or man walks by. Lord, deliver me from the fiery darts of addiction and drugs and alcohol and porn or whatever else it may be. Lord, when I'm around other ladies or other men who are gossiping about others, deliver me from participating in that gossip. Lord, help me to see the temptation. Help me to see the sin and be reminded of Scripture and be delivered from the fiery darts of the evil one. This petition, as one commentator said, it is like preventative medicine, right? When you take some preventative medicine, like the flu shot, or you get some vaccinations, or you take some medicine for high blood pressure or cholesterol or whatever else you might take, if that makes sense. Or you go into the doctor and you have some exams done to make sure that everything is okay, right? When we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, we are simply putting some preventative medicine into action in our lives. May we care about the holiness in our lives so much that we utilize the preventative spiritual medicine of praying and asking the Lord to lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one. In our sermon today, we've looked at the final three petitions in Jesus' model prayer, the petition for daily bread, the petition for daily needs of life, the petition for forgiveness and to forgive others, God's forgiven us, and the petition to the Lord to lead us not into temptation and to deliver us from evil, the evil one. And all in all, we see the two focuses, as I talked about earlier, and six petitions in Jesus' model. And I believe that these six petitions, these six prayers, should be something daily in our lives. We should pray all of this every single day in our lives. And I know that there are things that we should come to the Lord every single day of our lives. And I don't believe that every single prayer we pray, we have to pray for all six of these things, right? I don't believe that whenever you're sitting at the table and you're about to bless the food that you have to go through the whole Lord's Prayer to pray. But I do believe at some point throughout your day, you should come to the Lord and you should bring these six petitions to Him. Maybe it's in the morning, maybe it's in the evening, maybe it's at lunch or whenever else you pray. Or maybe you say, I'm going to bring these six petitions up throughout the day. I pray hallowed be your name and your kingdom come. I pray His will be done later and our needs to be met. And then I pray for the other two later in the day. There's so many different ways that you can kind of make this happen in your own prayer life to where you are praying for these six petitions that the Lord has modeled for us. And so, this morning, I want to close our sermon time by presenting to you a little acronym to maybe help you to pray these six petitions. I often use this acronym in my own prayers, and it loosely, to a degree, follows the Lord's Prayer. And it's just simply the ACTS model of prayer. A stands for adoration. This is just a time in which you give adoration to the Lord. You think about the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name. We're just simply adoring the Lord. Hallowed be your name, Lord. God, you are almighty. You are all powerful. You are all wise. You are all knowing. You are infinite. You are eternal. You're just coming to the Lord with a sense of adoration for who He is, how awesome He is, and how great He is. And then you go to C, confession. This would be just a time. So we learned about today to confess sins and ask the Lord for forgiveness, to just come before Him and come boldly to the throne, knowing that you're going to receive grace and mercy because you've already been forgiven. And you can just take the opportunity to confess sin to Him. And T, thanksgiving, taking the opportunity to give thanks and to express thanks to the Lord for His forgiveness. Give thanks for His gospel. Give thanks for His salvation. Give thanks for the way that He has met your needs that you've had in your life. Give thanks to for the family you have or whatever it is on your heart that you are thankful for. Your job, your church, your family, your workplace, whatever it may be that you are thankful for. Just take the opportunity to give thanks to the Lord. And the last one, supplication. Taking the opportunity to come before the Lord with your daily needs. Bringing before the Lord your desires, your asks, your needs, godly desires, asking the Lord to lead you not into temptation, to deliver you from the evil one. This would also be the opportunity you would pray for others, pray for your church, your family, for friends, for those that are sick, and whatever else you would like to bring before the Lord. It's just an opportunity for you to pray and just give supplication to the Lord for yourself and for others. So this is just simply the ACTS model of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Just a simple acronym to hopefully help you pray in your own life. In church, this ACTS acronym is going to kind of become a theme or kind of become something to shape our services with here at Nilly's Bend. And so typically we have about five prayers that we pray in our service here on Sunday morning. We have the opening prayer after announcements, the prayer after reading scripture. I typically pray before and after my sermon, and then we have a closing prayer at the end. And so going forward, what I would love for us to do is to be more intentional about how we pray in our service and what we pray for. And I believe this is going to be a good and right thing for us to do as a church because it means we're going to be more devoted and being intentional about what we are praying for and how we are praying in our church. And so beginning next week, the hope is that we can begin the service with a prayer of adoration. And then when we go to scripture reading and prayer time, we'll read a passage of scripture that deals with kind of confession. Confessing sins and asking for forgiveness and talking about how the Lord has given His life for us. And we will confess our sins to Him. And we'll also give thanks for the forgiveness that we have and the grace and mercy that we have. And then the two prayers that I pray before and after sermon, we'll keep those kind of steady, the same. But then when we close the service out, we'll have a prayer of supplication. Lord, help us to live out what was preached today. Help our people in our church to live before you holy and righteous, and however else we want to lay it out to where we are praying for supplication. And this will kind of be just a flow of our service, right? And I think it just makes absolute sense for us to do that, because what better way than to begin our service in worship and adoration of who our God is, and giving thanks to Him and confessing to Him, and also closing it, relying on the Lord, because we know that we are helpless in need of Him. Church, may we be a people and a church that is devoted to prayer. Let's pray. Dear God, we just come to you right now, Lord, and we're just so grateful for the amazing God you are. And God, right now, we just pray that your name will be hallowed in this church, that your name will be hallowed in this community, in this city, Lord. And God, we just pray that your kingdom will come, Lord, and that we will be participants in the kingdom, Lord. That we will make your kingdom visible here on this earth, Lord. That we will go forth and proclaim your gospel and share the saving grace that others can receive. And God, may we live out your will in our lives. May we as a church live out the will that you have for us as a church. But God, we also just pray this morning that you will give us our needs, our daily bread. And God, we just confess to you right now, Lord, that we don't pray to you enough in our own lives, that we don't come to you enough and talk to you and have conversations with you and bring before you all the things we need to bring before you, Lord. And so, God, we just ask for that forgiveness from that. God, we ask this morning that you will help us to forgive those who have sinned against us. That we will call them up and we will say, hey, friend, years ago you did this and it hurt my feelings. It's bothered me ever since. And I just want to come to you and just ask for your forgiveness, because I've forgiven you. And God, we need your help in delivering us from temptation and delivering us from the evil one. So God, we just pray this morning that you will be our rescue, that you will give us the strength to resist the sin, that you will remind us of your word to not step into sin. Lord, help us to be a church that is devoted to praying to you. God, we pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.